scriptures to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What I'm going to try to do this evening is the message this evening is going to be seven killers of Christian fruitfulness. Seven killers of Christian fruitfulness. That will be tonight's message if you'd like to come back this evening. There's a lot of killers of Christian fruitfulness, and I think it'd be a good message for you to come back to listen to. Great expectations is what we're going to be looking at in this morning's message today. And the first expectation, you know, being born again is a great expectation, isn't it? We got a lot of great things as God's people. We have a lot of great things. What's wrong? Everything's fine? Okay. We got a lot of great blessings in this text, especially the text that we're going to be looking at today. Great expectations. God's done great things for us already. Do y'all agree? He's done great things for us already, but buddy, like I've told you, I don't know how many different times, the very best things are yet to come. All God's people said. And that's a glorious thing to look forward to. It would be a horrible life without the expectation of heaven at the end of your days. Knowing that you got a home in the Father's house, knowing that you have everlasting life, knowing that He's with you always. I mean, we could go on and on with the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And I glory in that. I think about that all the time, and I give Him thanks all the time for the great blessings that He's done for us. Expectation number one, we have the first expectation that we have is the expectation of heaven. I don't know when Jesus is coming, and neither do you, but I do look forward to seeing the King. I do. When that's going to happen, when Jesus is going to come, it could come at any time. I don't know. We just really do not have any idea when He's coming. But what you need to be is you need to always be ready. All God's people said, always be ready. Because you don't know when He's coming. He could come during this church service. Wouldn't it be great to be in church and Jesus would come? That would be a tremendous blessing for us. And it could happen. But the main thing that we need to do is we always need to be ready. And the expectation of heaven could come down at any time, okay? To go to heaven, you must have the true gospel too. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I know you know it, but you don't have to apologize to go to 1 Corinthians 15. That's a great text. And it needs to be, told to people all the time. In order to be saved, you got to trust this message. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You got to trust this message, and it's called the what again? Does everybody in the house know what it is? It's the gospel message. What's gospel mean? Good news. Gospel is good news. When you have the gospel message in your heart, that's good news for you. Because that means if you die, that means that you'll go off to be with the Lord when you die. And do you think that's the most important thing there is? I think it is. I think a person that really needs to know from the shadow of their doubt that if they die, they go off to be with the Lord. And that gives me a comfort, don't you? I don't worry about a lot of things, I don't think. But I'm not really afraid of death. I'm not afraid if Jesus would come. If something bad would happen, I know God have a purpose for it. So I put all my confidence in Jesus. And that's a glorious thing to have in your heart. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. But what he does in 1 through 4 is he tells you right off the bat what is the salvation message. Just as clear as crystal. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, this is the message you've got to trust to save you. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What's gospel mean? Good news. The gospel is good news. If you didn't have the gospel, you wouldn't have no future at all. The only thing you would face is everlasting torment. But now, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, now we have everlasting life. So you, the gospel which I preached unto you, also you have received, and wherein you stand. Now, I want to tell you a little warning right here. It says that they had received it and wherein they stand. Have you received the gospel? That's my question. Some of you know the gospel. Some of you have heard the gospel. But there's also some people that's heard it, but at the same time, they've never trusted it. And that bothers me a whole lot. Sometimes I'll talk to people and they believe in God, or they believe that there is a God, but at the same time, they've never trusted the gospel as being the means of their salvation. And that's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to be. So in order to go to heaven, the only way that you can have everlasting life is by trusting the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All God's people say it. Now, that does sound kind of simple, doesn't it? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, you call, He'll save you. If you, in a word of prayer, would ask God, said, "Lord, I want to receive everlasting life. I want to trust the gospel message that 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 speaks of," and He would save you. I don't know how many people over the years that I've been on this earth, I don't know how many people that I've talked to that the people I was witnessing to knew that there was heaven and knew that there's a hell and knew that Jesus was the Savior. But at the same time, they just don't do anything about it. That's what I like to call them gamblers for, because they say they believe in it, but at the same time, they don't follow it. They don't trust it. And if you're here today and you're that way and you've never trusted Him, it would behoove you to do that. Over these past years, with all the death that we've been around as a church, we went through a lot of death at the Elizabeth Baptist Church. There's been a lot of different people in the town that have died and friends that have died. And what makes a difference on that day is whether or not they trusted Jesus. You know, I can't preach anybody into heaven. I can't preach them in. Only God can. Only God can. And what that sinner person needs to receive is they need to receive the gospel. And there's people that know that what I'm telling them is true, but at the same time, they don't do anything. They'll look at me and say, "Oh, Jeff, yeah, I know. One of these days, I think I'll do something about it." I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I've experienced it. I've witnessed to people for years, and then next thing happen is they die. And guess who they asked to do the message? They know the preacher named Jeff that knew the family, knew the people. And then they called, and then I'd go to the family and I'd say, "Now listen, I talked to this man over and over again about Jesus. As far as you know, did he ever or she ever trust Jesus? Did they? Did she?" And man, when they can't tell you that, that's a bad place to be. All God's people said. I hope you're ready today. I hope you're ready today. I hope that's an important thing for you to do. We got the expectation of heaven. Would it not be a vain life without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days? I'm going to heaven. I don't think I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I have a great expectation of that. I know where I'm going. But you need to know where you're going. And what I'm telling you is serious business, because if you die without Jesus, I want you to understand that this is forever. It's forever. You can't undo it after you're dead. And it's a dangerous place to be. To hear the gospel Say, I know Jeff's telling me the truth, but I'm going to wait this thing out a bit. And they die that way. All God's people say it. Well, God, we as God's people, we have the great expectation of going to heaven. Number two, we have the expectation of seeing the King. We sing songs soon, and very soon we are going to see the King. Isn't that how that went, Bertha? Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. That's a wonderful place to be. I know that one of these days, by death or by rapture, that one of these days I'm going to see the King. We sing that song, what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Man, that's a great expectation. Two great expectations that we've looked at so far. The expectation of going to heaven and the expectation of seeing the King. I want to see Jesus. Let's say it one more time together, all of us together. I want to see Jesus. That's who I want to see. And I look forward to that day when I see him. Also in the second part, I want to read this to you. It says, mine eyes... this is the book of Isaiah. My eyes shall see the King. Listen to this now. Isaiah 33:17. Mine eyes shall see the King. That was written. He wrote that in 750 B.C. Mine eyes shall see the King and behold the land that is very far off. Behold the land that is very what? It's a very far off land. What is that far off land called? It's called heaven. It's called New Jerusalem. You can call it New Jerusalem too. You can call it glory. That's another name for heaven. It's glory. So that's a great expectation. It bothers me. I hope everybody here today is saved, but it bothers me. When people don't train up their children in the things of the Lord, and they claim to know the Lord, that bothers me. Of all things, the greatest thing my parents ever did, the greatest thing my parents ever did for me was tell me about Jesus. And with regard to my parents, they made me go to church. You know how I was? Hollis, I wouldn't have went to school if Mom didn't make me. I wouldn't go. I'd have stayed home every day and fished. I'd be dumber than a rock as I am. Well, already dumber than a rock, but I mean, but it would be a bad thing, wouldn't it? It'd be a horrible thing. Yeah, I wouldn't have went at all. But sometimes you got to... put the main thing, Brother Hollis, you said, put the main thing as the main thing, and the main thing with regard to your children and your family is having everlasting life, don't you think? What could be any more important than that, and what could be a greater priority than that? People just let things go, man. They live for all these other different kinds of things, and then don't put the main thing as top priority, which is having eternal life. I got grandbabies. Yeah, they're meaner than striping snakes, boy. I love to play with them grandbabies, man. But I tell them about Jesus. I pass that on down to my grandbabies. I want them to learn about Jesus. And they do. And they study, and they read, and so I'm kind of passing that down to them, and their mom and dad is passing that down, and their grandmother is passing that down, because we want them. What's the main thing when somebody dies? It's where they're at. Eternal life's the greatest thing. You're not rich if you die without Jesus. You're not. You're a pauper if you die without Jesus. But you got to trust him. And people have all kinds. People have all kinds of goofy excuses for it. I get sick of people's excuses. All kinds of excuses. Well, I'm going to wait just for a little bit. I'm going to wait. I mean, all these different kinds of excuses people use. When the balance is forever, the balance is forever. And that's why it's important that you need to have this tremendous everlasting life. I got the expectation of heaven. I got the expectation of seeing the King. Those are two great expectations that I have. Now, I'm not wondering whether I'm going to go or not. I know I'm going. I sleep good at night. Well, at least I thought I did until I did that sleep study and about turned the hospital over. But anyhow, I thought I slept good, but evidently I didn't. It's what they told me anyhow. But it wasn't good. It looked like it was bad. But I just hyper, I guess. And I guess that kind of showed a little bit of that. So one of these days we'll see the King and we'll behold that faraway land one day. Third expectation. Great Expectations is the name of this message. First great expectation is the expectation of heaven. Do you have that hope, that expectation? You know that's coming your way. Now, let me say a little something else. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to say this to you, then you need to mind the Lord in baptism too. Because that's also a command. Is it or not? Jesus Christ walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist. How many of you knew that? He walked 60 miles. What would you walk 60 miles for? He walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist, because he had the authority for baptism. All God's people said. So if you've trusted Jesus, then you should mind him by baptism, because baptism is how you make it public. You shouldn't be ashamed to make it public. You ain't ashamed of him, are you? Why would you be ashamed of the one that paid your sin debt? You need to believe it. You need to trust it. We got the expectation of heaven. Isn't that great? That's your rich people. We got the expectation of seeing that faraway land, seeing the King in that faraway land. Number three, we have the expectation of seeing again those that died in Christ. Those that have died in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to know where your parents is at. It's a wonderful thing to know where children is at that have died. People in your family that have died. How many of you have somebody in your family that has died before? About everybody, right? Just about everybody. And what's the expectation in that? Well, we got the expectation that we're going to see them again. That we got the expectation expectation, when I'm using that terminology, is because it's sure. It's something that's sure. Stewie, Cheryl is in heaven. What if you didn't have that? It'd be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? You know that. You'll see her again, and you'll be together again, and do you think she's happy? Oh, yeah. Do you think she'd come back this old place? I don't think so either. But how is it with you? I mean, I don't know why there is a lot of people that believe what I'm saying, but at the same time, they've never trusted Jesus. I don't know what in the world's up with that. I think the devil does that. I think he whispers. We used to sing a song many times, Satan whispers. I think he does. You can just wait your way right into eternity and not be ready. So we have the expectation of our loved ones dying in Christ. And man, it'd be hard living in this whole world without the expectation of knowing that your loved ones is with the Lord. You can't put a price tag on that. Can't put a price tag on it. All right, number four. We have the expectation of a new body. You know, this body I have is aging. And I'm 60. If you want to buy me something. But I'm 60 now. Now, when I look at that word or that number 60, I'm thought, man, 60. It just seems like, what does it seem like to you? It goes by what? The scripture says it's soon over. The book of Isaiah says it's soon over and I'll fly away. That's where we get that old song. It's soon over. And then eventually what's going to happen is we will what? We'll fly away. And when we do, we'll have a new body. And that's what I look forward to. Like I said, this body is vile that I'm living in right now. But one of these days, Jesus is going to give me, I'm going to get a new body. This is called the resurrection of the justified. There's a resurrection of the just, and there's a resurrection of the unjust. You want to go up at the resurrection of the justified. If someone goes without being justified, then they will die in their sins and they won't go up. They will, can you imagine this, to wake up in hell? Think about it. That's a frightening thing. It's a frightening thing. So, one day we'll get that new glorified body and that glorified body won't get sick. It won't get sad. It won't die. It won't sin. Scripture says he's going to change this vile body, that it will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Number five, this will be the last one. Let me catch you up. Great expectations. We got the expectation of heaven. We got the expectation of seeing the King. We got the expectation of seeing our loved ones again. It's a great expectation that we have. We got the expectation of having a new body, which eventually that's something that we'll get. And that will be when Jesus comes, which could be when? Which could be today. And number five, we have the expectation of a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. A new heavens, it's going to be different. A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. That means that the earth one day will have no sin in it. No more sin, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more dying, no more pain, all these kinds of things. It'll all be done. When's that going to happen? It could happen today. Could it happen? Do you believe it could happen today? How many of you really believe it could happen today? Raise your right hand. Well, I hope if you raise your hand, I hope you believe it. I imagine just about every time I give an invitation, but I'm sure that there's people back there that knows that what I'm telling them is the truth, but at the same time, they think, yeah, I know he's right, but I'm just going to wait a bit. I'm going to wait till I'm sure. Well, you can be sure. You can be sure. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Put the thief on the cross there and saved him right in that time when he died. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So what else can there be? The greatest gamblers isn't in Las Vegas. The greatest gamblers in this world are those who believe in Jesus, believe in heaven, and believe in hell, and have heard the gospel, but yet at the same time, they gamble with their soul that there'll be another day in which they're going to fix this thing up, and they don't. I don't know how it is with you this morning. And Bertha, I'd like to, can we sing something, you think? Just not me and you together, but the whole congregation. Just a little something. But we're going to sing a little song of invitation. And if you'd like to trust the Lord as your Savior, I invite you to come up and if you would like. Or you could come after church. It don't make any difference. I'll be here with you either way. But I encourage you to do that. The cover would be good. What a day that'll be. Yeah. Turn to the cover. And let's just sing it from the... Let's sing this song today to the very depths of our heart. Let's all stand as we sing. If you'd like to trust Jesus today, I invite you to come.